This is February the 4th, 1988, and this is John A. Irwin.
John, I understand you've got a very unusual experience you'd like to.
Well, I would say that it was the first Thursday of the month of March in 1950. Something happened that I will never forget for the rest of my life. I was in a chapel service at Asbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky. A number of colleges had had revivals, and on this particular morning, we had a visiting chapel speaker. One or two of the seniors stood up to give a testimony about what had happened to them the previous night. The dean of the college suggested that we go on with the chapel service and let the speaker speak, and he was willing to give his time to more students, but instead, he gave his talk that morning. I have no idea what he said, and I'm sure many others don't. But when he concluded his chapel address, the dean of the college stood up and said, We know we have class following this chapel service this morning, but as you know, we always permit students to come to the altar if they feel a need. And so he said, the altar is open for any who would like to come forward. And I thought, had he said, the first 10 students here will receive Cadillacs, they couldn't have gotten there any quicker. They raced down the aisles, they came from the balcony, and in a matter of seconds, the altar was filled, and they moved students from the first and second rows so that students could kneel there. Now, there was no invitation, there was no pleading. These were students who just simply came forward on their own. We were standing at the time that this was said. I was a junior in college, and I was standing back in the section where the junior students were. And I had been having some difficulty in my life, and I had gone to my professor, who was my major professor as well as my counseling professor, and had talked with him the week before. And he said, John, you have a problem, and I don't know how to help you. I'm not trained in that. But he said, I will keep you in my prayers. And I will never forget when the altar was filled that suddenly, as clear as anything to my ears, although it was not audible, clear as anything, I heard this voice saying, do you believe that I can do anything? And I said, yes. And then the next comment was, then why don't you let me? And I will never forget that I said, the problem is in your hands. And it was. And immediately I had the most wonderful peace, a sense of release, a sense of joy. I had been married that previous summer, and my roommate of my sophomore year was seated about four rows in front. And I signaled to him what had happened, and he motioned to get out in the aisle. And as we came out in the aisle, he said, go back and tell your professor what's happened. Now, my professor, in the 4 years that I was in college, I don't know that he was ever late to chapel except this particular day. And instead of being on the front row where he always sat, he was in the last row. The two of us went back, and I came up behind him, and he turned around, and I said, Doctor, and he said, you don't have to tell me a thing, John. I can read it in your face. And tears streamed down his eyes, and he was not one for showing emotion, but he threw his arms around me and hugged me, which was such a shock, I didn't know what was happening. And he said, I know whatever it is gone. And for me, I knew that this had to be a real thing that had happened in my life. I've never forgotten it, and I probably never will. You might be interested to know that newspaper reporters came in, and to them this was new experience. They didn't understand what had happened. And I began talking to one of them, and the next thing I knew, I was giving them the material for their newspaper articles. Another classmate and I were taking pictures for the wire services, and they were sent out from there. And one of the questions asked by the newspaper people, how did this start? What brought it about? And I started to inquire to see what I could find out. I discovered in the previous October, four or five students had asked permission to meet in the gymnasium at 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, this building was not heated. These students met for prayer because they were concerned about seniors who were leaving without a real commitment to Christ. They met every night for an hour. Nobody was aware of this, and they prayed for these students. They did this through the month of October, November, December, when we finished classes for the quarter and were going home. They coveted that they would continue to pray. They came back in January and prayed all through the month of February. Finally, the Wednesday night, they felt the time had come to ask three of the seniors to come to their prayer group, and they invited them to come. And they told them what they had been doing, prayed for them. They were converted that evening. These were the boys who stood up to give their testimony. I am convinced that the Holy Spirit, when it can be released through prayer and interceding, there is nothing that can't happen. That service, which I was called revival, that started at 10 minutes of 11 on that Thursday morning, went continuously through all day Thursday, Thursday night, Friday, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and I was there when the last student at 7:05 on Tuesday morning left. Until that time, there was someone there either at the altar praying or singing. There was no preaching. There was no organization whatsoever. I must say this to give you an idea of why I say it was the Holy Spirit. Students from other colleges came to make fun of it. Some came in at 1 o'clock in the morning. They weren't there 5 minutes before they were down front praying. One of the newspaper men that I worked with was from Cleveland, Ohio, and he said, I'm an agnostic, but I will say this, there's something happening here that I can't explain. The man who was in charge of the United Press Bureau in Frankfort, Kentucky, as we were walking on campus, the restaurants were all closed on Sunday, and he had no place to eat, so he and his wife came. I had them down to our apartment for something to eat, and we were walking back on campus, and I was trying to explain to him what had happened, and he said, John, you don't need to tell me a thing. He said, when I get within 200 feet of this chapel, I feel like I'm walking through a mist or a fog. He said, I don't understand it. I've been a church person all my life, but I've never experienced anything like this. I know it's genuine. You don't have to tell me. And he said, I see it in the faces of the students. I see it in the spirit of the service, and I feel it in the presence of this building. I attribute it to the Spirit of God being released through the prayers of those who intervened.
And those students that were attending that school, just all of them were touched?
I think it affected almost every student. The chapel probably would seat close to 1,100, including the balcony, and it was full, and students did not attend class, not because they were trying to get out of class, but simply wanted to be in the presence of the
college was there.
And they were there all through the night. In fact, I stayed up all Thursday night, and Friday, when I had gone to sleep, I got a call from newspaper asking me for details. And I went back to, because I had no sleep, and students were coming in from other colleges, people were coming, parents, their children had, or young people had called, and their parents were coming. And it was just...
all were touched.
It was the most genuine thing that I have ever seen. Now that's, 1950? That's 38 years ago. And it's as fresh in my memory as if it happened last week. I've been in the ministry since I finished seminary. I have stressed over and over in every church I've served, if you pray, there is no telling what God will do. But But you have to mean business with him in order for him to mean business with you. Asbury College is a non-denominational school. I suppose their graduates are around the world. It was built about the turn of the century, the late 1890s. It's trained a number of ministers and missionaries, and I suppose the outstanding graduate, if you want to use those words, is E. Stanley Jones, who graduated from there. But I don't think you can find a mission field anywhere in the world that there isn't an Asbury graduate. It's a college that's very unusual from that standpoint, high scholastically, and yet, as someone said, you leave this school with an experience that stays with you the rest of your life. I've kept a scrapbook of these events, being a hobby of mine, newspapers, and my parents sent me clippings from the newspaper in Columbus, Ohio, where I had my home at that time, because they had quoted me in one of the articles. So I had the United Press wire service sent us a picture that was in a Knoxville, Tennessee paper. So I have the college write-ups as well as most of the wire services. So I've kept them over the years. One of the reporters that I had talked to at the Lexington Herald Leader wrote an article, and in it, and this, mind you, is a newspaper reporter now, who said, "The scenes that I have witnessed here are not for pen and ink. One feels he should almost turn his back because it is so personal between the individual and God." And I've never forgotten that. I underlined it in the article. But this is a newspaper reporter now. This is not a religious writer. This is a man who's out covering murders, fires, and court, who says, "What I have seen cannot be recorded with pen or ink."